Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Ravel, and this is ValueSide for Friday, June 30. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. Well, today, the Fed says banks are okay. Are they? Well, Wednesday afternoon, after the market had closed, the Federal Reserve released their latest stress test on the nation's major banks. Now, the Fed likes to release major reports like this after trading for the day is complete. That's because they're never quite sure how Wall Street will react. Important reports like this, the bank stress test, can send markets into a tailspin if the news seems to be bad. But no worries this week. Both the Federal Reserve and the Wall Street were on the same page, namely, that American banks are doing just fine, thank you. To use the Fed's own words, quote, the Federal Reserve Board on Wednesday released the results of its annual bank stress test, which demonstrates that large banks are well positioned to weather a severe recession and continue to lend to households and businesses even during a severe recession. The street rallied, and the Fed breathed a huge sigh of relief as the report had served its primary mission, assure the American public. But if you're like me, you might be surprised at such rosy outlook for the banks. After all, didn't three of the four top bank failures occur just earlier this year, when First Republic, Signature, and Silvergate Bank all went under? Although all three banks had a different client mix and provided different financial services, Signature and Silvergate, for instance, were heavily involved in the crypto markets, while First Republic had more traditional wealth management advice, but they all had two things in common, which led to their downfall. First and foremost, each bank was doing well, substantially expanding the bank's assets. This, in turn, required the bank to shore up their capital. So, following the Federal Reserve's own advice back in 2019, the banks loaded up on U.S. Treasuries. In 2019, the Fed advised all the banks that were experiencing growth that the easiest and most convenient way to add capital was by investing in Treasuries. Now, this might have been sound advice while interest rates were steady, but as soon as the Fed started raising interest rates, that dropped the value of those Treasury bonds. Bonds move inversely to interest rates, so as rates go higher, the value of the bonds decline. And all three banks, as well as many others, saw the value of their capital steadily declining as the Fed continued to hike interest rates. Now, the three banks, Signature, First Republic, and Silvergate, might have survived, if just barely, except for that one final event, a bank run. Each bank experienced tremendous withdrawals during March. The two crypto banks, Signature and Silvergate, saw depositors flee in response to the failure of the FTX crypto exchange, while First Republic saw their depositors vanish because of some adverse investment reports. But no matter the motivation, in today's electronic world, deposits can disappear quicker than you can imagine. And at the push of a button, depositors can move to a safer bank, and the original bank is caught high and dry. That's because deposits offset loans, and if deposits decline, then the bank must come in with more and more capital to support those loans. And remember, the original capital for the banks was declining because of higher interest rates. So it was a double bind for all of these banks. Higher interest rates meant that their in-house capital was worth less, while the bank runs required that they bring in additional capital to meet those runs. And in the end, they simply could not bring in capital fast enough to meet their requirements. It was the lack of capital that sank the banks. Now, aside from criminal fraud, this is almost always how banks fail. They simply cannot get enough capital in-house to meet such circumstances as excessive withdrawal, those bank runs, loan defaults, or a decline in their capital desk, the price of their U.S. Treasuries. The difference between how these three mid-level banks are treated by the regulators and how the big four banks are treated is profound. For instance, in the great financial crisis of 2008 and 9, Citigroup was allowed to function for nearly 2 years without the capital required. Citibank was functionally bankrupt, but was ultimately bailed out by the U.S. government as they were, quote, too big to fail. Now, we can argue whether this was a necessary step to prevent a total system-wide collapse, but the fact remains that there are two sets of rules in the banking industry. So with that background, let's take another look at this year's Fed stress test. Remember, this year's stress test sought to discover how the 23 top banks in the country would perform if the economy would go into a, quote, severe recession. They measured the results of this recession in three dimensions: commercial real estate, if it declined by 40%, residential real estate, if it declined by 38%, and if unemployment rises to 10%. In other words, the Fed was measuring how the banks would perform if their loan portfolios were hit. If commercial, residential, and consumer loans all saw higher levels of defaults, another way to look at this is how would the banks do if they suddenly had less income? Remember, all of those loans provide income to the banks in the form of loan or mortgage payments. So the Fed stress test measured how the banks would perform with less income. And the good news here is that they would operate just fine. Cut, print, and write that headline. That's how it went over at the Fed. It was a nice test, but it had little to do with today's reality. The three banks that failed this year were not put out of business because they had less income. They went out because the underlying business changed, and changed almost instantly. Income was not the issue. Having their regulatory chair kicked out from under them, that was the issue. In less than 6 months of the Fed hiking interest rates already put the banks in a highly tenuous position. Each Fed hike caused their capital, principally U.S. Treasuries, to decline in value. And all it took after that was an electronic bank run to provide the final coup de grace, and the banks were done. Fortunately, in this year's stress test, the Federal Reserve didn't ask any of those questions. And Wall Street wasn't looking for that answer. Wall Street got what they always wanted: assurance. And that's the value side for Friday, June 30. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revelle. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.